Opinions gained from Egypt's diplomacy, Cairo's real intentions seem to lie elsewhere. Egypt refuses to supply the Gaza Strip with electricity, leaving it under the Zionist regime's mercy. The fuel that Gaza needs comes from the Zionist regime at a high price. Whenever the Zionist regime wants and in calibrated quantities, that fits Israeli policies of pressure and squeeze. Previous ceasefire agreements brokered by Egypt were violated by the fake regime of Israel, and deals on freeing prisoners, where Egypt was supposedly the guarantor, were also broken by the Israeli regime with no Egyptian response. Lacking regional leverage and a role, the government of Abdel Fattah al-Sisi holds on to its so-called mediation as the only visible way of being involved in regional diplomacy, preventing other countries such as Jordan, Turkey, or Qatar from intervening perhaps more effectively. Sisi's Egypt cares less about the fate of 2 million Palestinians, let alone their resistance, and more about projecting itself and primarily to the U.S. as a regional player with significance. The ending of this brutal assault against the Gaza Strip was very much welcome, especially as ordinary people suffer endlessly. Sadly, this will not be the last war on Gaza and the Palestinians. Mowing the grass is a grand Israeli strategy that applies to Palestinians everywhere. In Gaza, however, succumbing to the Israeli regime equation of calm for calm implies the continuation of the occupation, misery, poverty, and inhuman conditions for its people calmly. It means going back to the quiet suffocation of 2 million people, offered only two options, either to die screaming in war or die silently under siege.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my dear friends, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new episode of Back to Reality. Hope you're doing great and everything is just fine with you. Now that we have your precious attention, buckle up to fly beyond the surface of your favorite topics. You are listening to Arab English Radio, and this is Asma, at your service as the host. Well, as for our dear guest, I should say today is heaven. I have two of my very dear amazing friends, and together we'd provide some captivating, thought-provoking stuff for you. And I forgot to tell you that both of them are Zainab. So I shall add that S on you, Zainab.
Yes. Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I'm Zainab Sadat. I have my BA in English Language and Literature and my MA in Teaching English as a Foreign Language. And
so great.
And of course, one of my big interests is in religious studies.
Dear one, Zainab
Askari. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
And you, Zainab, please give us a bit about your field of study.
Okay. Well, I have done my master's in linguistics from India.
Yes.
And then I am still engaged in religious studies in the Hafsa of Qom as
so
of now.
So I am over exhilarated to be with both of you. Well, life is difficult and no one is out there to say no. Of course, it is difficult and it's got situations that look like calamities and catastrophes. They would fall on you and then everything would collapse around you. Then you would come to this conclusion that, okay, in order to leave, I have to crush my heart and break all my feelings and turn them into ashes. Mm-hmm. I would turn into a robot. Mm-hmm. And I'm no longer a human being with feelings, because that's what life is going to make out of me. Do you agree? Is it true?
I believe that sometimes it is better for us to just neglect our emotions and do something that we don't want for our own benefit. Yes.
That's so depressing.
Yes. For my case, in the situations where I gained something, I had to turn off my feelings for a while.
So, Zainab, do you agree with her?
Well, as for me, life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes you feel like it's going smooth and everything is
peachy and pink.
Yes, exactly. But then in the moment's notice, you realize that as if you have been thrown a curveball. So life does not go all the time the way you want it to go. Mm-hmm. As she said, there's a quote in Urdu. I would like to say that.
Yeah, of course.
Har kisi ko mukammal jahan nahi milta, kahin zameen to kahin aasman nahi milta. Not everyone gets the entire world. Sometimes you don't have the earth, sometimes you don't have the support of sky.
So you
so that's the meaning
with Zainab
of the quote.
And you believe that sometimes we have to kill our feelings.
Of course you have to.
Yes.
That seems very
And that's
depressing.
Temporary, you know, Asma. You don't have to bother yourself. That's temporary. As soon as you get what you want, you know, it's a must, Asma, in your life. It's a must. As just Zainab says, life is full of ups and downs, and you must be flexible.
Yeah.
You must accept that in some situations, when you like to do something, you should not do that.
You actually grow, I guess.
Yeah.
You grow.
That's the process of being mature.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, as much as I love to disagree with you, but there's
I know
no
that.
Way for me.
Because you have been always the person in my mind that follows her interest and rejects everything that is against what she wants.
Yeah.
I think the other way. I think she's not married yet. She
really?
Does not have responsibilities. She does not have so many other things to do.
Yeah.
So once I won't say like you, once you're married, you always get married.
But
once
so it has something to do with getting married.
Of course it has, because, you know, even if you get married to a person of your choice, still, when responsibilities come in, when other things come in, you are not able to handle all the things at a time. So sometimes, for example, you're a free bird, you were living free before. Now, since you have responsibilities, you have to kill some of the expectations and feelings.
And there are lots of cases when you must do things that you hate even.
Yes.
Not the things that you don't like, but things that you hate. About, matrimonial life, yes, Zainab's quite right.
We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Even if you're not married as a human being, I don't know, whatever the case it is, in your personal life, as dealing with other human beings, I don't know, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever that is surrounding you. And actually, if to put it more accurate, I would say life would teach you that sometimes you have to get your heart in your hand and throw it out of your chest and then decide according to what your brain is going to tell you. Because as just Sister Zainab and the other Zainab here with me mentioned, sometimes we have to do it for our benefits because that is where our dignity stands. Mm-hmm. And we have to kill our feelings. So there is no way to say that. You can always live with whatever that your heart and your feelings are going to tell
you. And Asma, there's another point that I must mention. I want to refer to the verse, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum."
Yeah, exactly.
You can see that sometimes you might start an action that
And we have that expression, Zainab, a blessing in disguise. So it is disguised in a bad form, yes. But it would turn into a blessing.
Yes, you're right. Yes, there are lots of proverbs, verses. Yeah. Yes, that you can say that you start doing something that you don't like and actually hate. But when you start that and when you go on, you come to notice that, no, it's good for me and I'm starting just to like it.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I want to refer to the story of my friend, one of my friends who was just interested in arts and painting and emotional subjects. Yeah. But her family just opposed her. And
such a bad
situation. They forced her to go and study law.
Oh my God, that's a crime. From art to law. There's yes. no relation.
Yes, they made her to go and study law. And at the beginning, she was just, she hated that. She had struggled with her parents. But then gradually, as she started studying law, she was accepted at a good university.
But she's not going to be a great liar, trust me.
No, and gradually, the point is that gradually she started to like that
field. Oh my
field.
God, I started loving
yes,
law.
Yes, she started, and now she's a judge.
Wow.
Yes, and she's a successful judge. You know, that's a good thing. If she followed
Unbelievable.
If she just followed what she liked. I don't want to say that art is a bad thing. But I'm saying that sometimes you
life.
Have to be flexible in your life.
Yeah, I got
And
you,
accept maybe. Choices that are not in your favor. And so gradually you would come to see that they are beneficial for you and you love them a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice story to hear about. Now, Zeynep, let's talk about this point that is there any relationship between killing your feelings for your benefit and the sacrifice that you make for other people?
Well, I think most of the times if you... First of all, I think it's not killing the feelings. It's masking the feelings. You cannot kill away a feeling. As Zeynep Sadat said that, you know, she had a friend. She had the story that we heard
Come
right
on,
now.
Come on, you're killing it. It's not
no, no,
masking.
No, it's masking.
Don't make it look nice.
You just turn them off temporary.
No, 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 I'll tell you why she...
And that's a
why
better point to say. Into, we just turn them off temporarily.
I'll tell you why her friend became a good lawyer or like a good just...
judge.
Judge, yeah. You know why? Because she masked her feelings. She did not kill her feelings. She masked her feelings that got trapped into an energy, and that energy came out into some other form. But sometimes this mm-hmm. energy may come out into a negative form. It may have some health consequences. So it never fades away. It gets just transformed into some energy that always remains within you. And that may give you some willpower to do some other things, you know, do some other good things.
So what about sacrifice?
Sacrifices are always there.
Is it the same as sacrifice? Sacrificing yourself for the benefit of others. It is not the benefit of you.
Well, sometimes since we're all girls, I'll say most of the girls do that, especially at the time of marriage.
Yeah, since today's session is the women of the round table.
I'll say most of the girls do that. For example, even in their very important decision of life.
Yeah, that is very
For example,
true.
If you're going to marry someone, mm-hmm. you marry for your parents sometimes, but you don't express your own feelings. And that time you feel like you're sacrificing your life for your parents, but you forget the fact the entire life you have to live for yourself. It's not the sacrifice of a moment. It's the sacrifice of entire life.
Yeah.
You have to compromise each and every second you're living with the person. You masked your feelings for your parents.
Yeah.
So it's not always, even it's for your parents, like it's not always smart to mask your feelings or kill your feelings for others.
Here comes this notion. I would change my expression. I would say that it actually is killing our feelings for the benefit of others. there is no way to kill our emotions for our own benefits. You know what I mean? Because if it is my benefit, then I would never turn it off. You know?
You'll fly with your feelings.
Exactly.
Yes. You'll go on with the flow.
I have wings and I will fly whenever I wish to
You just change your direction.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to your own.
So actually the process of crushing your heart and taking it out of your chest is just because you're going to please others. Whether it be your family, your husband, your wife, whomever. Your boss, your coworker, whomever that you're dealing with.
I really don't like that.
Yeah.
It is, although I have a little difference of opinion, it's good only at one place.
Where?
I literally hate killing or masking feelings for others, but I really like it when it comes to a religion, when it comes to Allah. Sometimes I may be brought up with a negative feeling. That might not be a right feeling.
Yeah.
But when I'm killing that wrong feeling for the religion,
for the
sake of Allah, Allah will help me for sure to, you know, come out of that.
So when a 9-year-old girl starts to fast, she is very young and very delicate, and she might not be even physically ready to do that fasting, but she does it because she's been asked to do it. She would kill her emotions for eating, for, I don't know, having happiness, just going around like other girls, and she does that only for God.
Yeah, and there's so many things, like people in our cultures, they get brought up into a very different environment. You always, I don't know, you get brought up in a way that many things that are haram in Islam, that are okay in our cultures. And then when you suddenly come up into an Islamic culture, you give up your feelings for Allah.
Yeah. Actually, a very interesting point you added, Zainab.
Yeah.
This was the core of our discussion.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when you suddenly jump into an Islamic culture and here you give up your feelings for Allah, hey, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But when you're giving up your feelings just to please others, that's seriously, even for your parents, I am not with that. You should not kill away your feelings for anyone.
Except for Allah.
Except for Allah. If it's in line, if your feelings are always in line with religion, go with it. No matter even if world is against you, just go for it. But if your feelings, if others are opposing your feelings, and just analyze, if they are not in line with religion, try to kill them. Try to mask them.
I just wanted to give you a little summary, but Zainab made it all.
All right.
So thank you for that. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Ten years have passed since the start of war in Syria, but the country still seems to be in the midst of a conflict. So who's fighting who, and why does this seem like a war without end? For years, the Syrian war was the biggest news story, but now not so much. Cities and railways are being rebuilt, domestic flights have even started up again. Meanwhile, foreign forces have on the other hand ramped up their efforts to push their own agenda. The UNHCR even says the amount of investment to fuel the ongoing crisis compared to the money to alleviate the impact of the war on the Syrian people is very little. When the war started, Syrian government forces fought against US and foreign-backed terrorists. The US, its allies such as the UK and France, as well as Saudi Arabia and others, sided with the opposition and supported these terrorists. But Syria's legitimate government also had its own allies, namely Russia and Iran. Amid the ongoing chaos, terrorists took advantage of the crisis and soon became a common enemy to everyone. Now, over the course of the years of conflict, Daesh continues to operate in northern Syria with the help of the US to achieve its own goals at the cost of the Syrian people. The US has been accused of both hiring terrorists and training them to destabilize the country. This comes while a large portion of northeast Syria's crude oil resources have fallen onto the hands of the US. So does this confirm that the US is in one way or another fueling the conflict to continue its illegal occupation and abuse of Syrian resources?
The big question is what right does the US have to be in Syria at all? It has no right, and everyone wants the US out. Probably even Eastern Europe, the EU probably would like the US to be out. So the US is working with the other Syrian rebels, army defectors, rebel.
The Pentagon has confirmed that the Russian military conducted its second known strike in 2 months near a US base in Syria. Moscow says the airstrike was conducted against a group of US-backed militants in Syria near Al-Tanf. According to some reports, the US then warned the terrorists to move their positions. The US has used these terrorists interchangeably between Iraq and Syria to do its dirty work. It has also transported these terrorists to Afghanistan, with some reports indicating they were transported to Ukraine. The Russian strikes come at a sensitive time due to the Ukraine conflict and tensions between Moscow and Washington. The Pentagon is trying to ensure tensions don't escalate with Russian forces, including in Syria, where the two sides have operated in proximity to each other for several years. Both Russia and Syria have time and again stated that the US is training former Daesh members. Moscow has even specifically stated that Washington is trying to further destabilize the country. It also says that the Al-Tanf US base is illegal and that it and the area around it have become a void where terrorists operate unhindered. Since the Al-Tanf base formation, however, the United States has claimed that it's a temporary facility used to train partner forces to fight Daesh. It has rejected the Russian claims, saying Washington remains committed to killing Daesh and denying it safe havens.
And Russia warned the U.S. over 2 months ago in June. It said, we're going to be bombing. So, you know, and they were actually telling the U.S., okay, we're going to bomb. So then the U.S. can phone up to the Mugawar al-Thawr, the commanders of the revolution, and say, you know, you're going to be bombed. So, I mean, I think that's stopped. I think the Russia's getting a bit more assertive now, and they're like the neo-fascists in Ukraine, and there the U.S. is supporting the same kind of rebel forces against Russia. So it's the same scenario transplanted into Syria.
The U.S. cut ties with Damascus over alleged rights violations by the Syrian government. But now, despite attempts by Syria, Russia, and Iran to rebuild the war-ravaged country, American troops continue their illegal occupation of parts of Syria, hindering any such attempts and further proving Washington's twisted logic. Japan commemorates the 77th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Survivors and relatives mark the blast anniversary with a minute of silence. The United States dropped the first atomic bomb, codenamed Little Boy, on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, destroying the city and killing 140,000 people, mostly civilians and including many children. A second bomb 3 days later on Nagasaki killed another 70,000 and made Japan surrender and ended World War II. The bombs also left tens of thousands more dead in the months and years that followed, many from radiation-related illnesses. Many who survived the attacks continued to require welfare and medical care. During the memorial, the Japanese Prime Minister said the government would continue to support the survivors and demanded all nations to work together to promote the total abolition of nuclear weapons. It's still a goal far from being realized, but one held as strongly in the two cities that have suffered the most from such weapons. Meanwhile, the U.S., despite being the only country to have used weapons of mass destruction during a war, seems to have learned no lesson from the horrific incident.
Their weapons should be eliminated from the entire earth. The United States, as a government, as a nation, has learned really no lessons. In fact, although there was a strong movement to eliminate nuclear weapons in the 1970s, resulting in the Non-Proliferation Treaty, in which the United States pledged to eliminate nuclear weapons, it did not do so, and in fact, over the last few years has committed, from the end of the Obama administration, to a $1 trillion nuclear weapons modernization program, which runs directly in the face of any commitment to eliminating nuclear weapons. And so it's really, the United States really has nothing to say about other countries having nuclear weapons until it gets its own act together.
In 1968, the world agreed on a new agreement, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Over 190 countries are currently signed up. Nuclear powers agreed to reduce their arsenals, in exchange others agreed not to have them at all. In the 70s, the deals between Russia and the US continued, more focused on long-range missiles, and though the rivalry between these two global powers intensified in 1991, there was a New START treaty aimed at decreasing the size of their arsenals and underpinning the West's justification for these weapons, which is an idea generally referred to as nuclear deterrence. But now Russia has intensified its rhetoric of using nuclear weapons in the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. The US and the EU, on the other hand, continue to provoke Moscow despite the threats.
Well, there really was no reason for this conflict with Russia other than the way in which it has aided the highly financialized, speculative economy of the United States and, by extension, Germany, France, Great Britain, and Israel, which have committed to a system in which now, because of this massive printing of money and the creation of false assets, only a war economy can save them from this catastrophe. So provoking a war with Russia, a thoughtless and dangerous move, does have the effect of increasing the value of the dollar in the short term.
As tensions rise between these two countries, which still have the largest nuclear arsenals, the world is now forced to look at history and the present to avoid an incident similar to the tragedy of Hiroshima. During the 77th anniversary of the world's first atomic bomb attack, the United Nations Secretary General, while calling for disarmament, said the world is playing with a loaded gun.
And today, the world is in danger of forgetting the lessons forged years, 77 years ago. Almost 13,000 nuclear weapons are being held. Stockpiles are being upgraded. And the common thread of potential nuclear annihilation runs through geopolitical crises the world over, from the Middle East to the Korean Peninsula to Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
A clear example of such threat would be Israel, which has persisted on possessing nuclear weapons. Iran has pushed for the establishment of a Middle East zone free of weapons of mass destruction, which the Islamic Republic initiated at the UN. But Israel won't comply. Tehran has even repeatedly warned that West Asia and the entire world is being threatened by nuclear weapons of the Israeli regime and urged international pressure on Tel Aviv to make it join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Gaza was flashed bright by explosions as Israeli artillery and other weapons targeted what they say were weapons factories and rocket launch sites belonging to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Following the latest round of aggression initiated by the Israeli military, an aerial duel was also held as rockets were fired from Gaza towards Israel, some intercepted by the Israeli Iron Dome anti-missile system, yet many penetrated deep inside Israel, reaching as far as Tel Aviv. Earlier, in a televised address, the Israeli Prime Minister said the regime had zero tolerance for attacks from Gaza and that isn't interested in a wider conflict in Gaza, but will not shy away from one either. Israel has labeled the latest round of aggression as a preemptive operation. It says it aimed to thwart alleged planned rocket attacks by the Islamic Jihad. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad called the initial Israeli bombardment a declaration of war, firing a barrage of at least 100 rockets into southern Israel. Around 13 people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Some reports have, however, indicated that many Israelis were killed in the retaliatory attacks. In response to the Israeli aggression, the Al-Quds brigades launched attacks on cities across the occupied territories. Hamas also announced its support for the Islamic Jihad and said it would respond to the strikes. Israel claims it targets military sites, but similar to all other attacks by the regime, civilians seem to be on the receiving end of the rockets.
Definitely, this is a war crime. It's a war crime in itself. The bombing in itself is a war crime. The siege of Gaza and the blockade for 15 years is a war crime. The starving people, cutting off the electricity and cutting off the water supply and cutting off the ability for Palestinians to import much necessary food and building supplies and medicine and allow people to leave and come back is a war crime in itself. This is not acceptable. And that's one thing. The second aspect of it is that the fact that Israel has claimed and actually publicly announced that it is using this as a preemptive in itself is also a war crime, because even in international law of war, you are supposed to respond in a proportionate manner if you are being attacked. Actually, even this time, Israel itself admitted that there has been no provocation. Israel has been provoking again and again and again, and has been provoking the Palestinians in order to create a war with the Palestinians and in order to punish Palestinians again and again. So Palestinians have not done anything yet. And so Israel went and bombed and killed so many children, so many civilians, has destroyed again Gaza. This is apartheid. This is a crime against humanity.
The United States has time and again vowed to support Israel. This includes the U.S. President's latest trip to Israel, where he pledged full military support for Israel with regard to the Iron Dome, a new laser system, and other military support. And now regarding the latest round of attack against Gaza, the U.S. ambassador to the regime said Israel has a right to defend itself. That is a green light for Israel to continue with its rocket attacks. The U.K. Foreign Secretary also echoed similar remarks, adding that the kingdom stands by Israel.
Biden has continued support for Israel unconditionally. He repeated support for Israel and quote-unquote its security when it is not even threatened. It's the one that's threatening the security of the Palestinian people, including the children, women, elderly people, disabled, everybody. Israel is threatening the security. It's not the other way around. So for the United States to go around and for Joe Biden making so many promises during his campaign against Bush, against Trump, that he was going to roll back many of the aggressive actions of Trump, which were already before Trump, not really happily during Obama as well, and Joe Biden was his vice president. They were actually very problematic against the Palestinians. For Biden not to even reverse the aggressive steps that Trump has taken against the Palestinians, but to continue military aid, economic aid, collaboration with Israel, justification for Israel's attack on, it is giving a green light, and it is exactly the way we all understood it.
Those statements have, however, drawn criticism from the United Nations. The UN Special Reporter on the Occupied Palestinian Territories slammed the U.S. for the remarks and stated that Israel cannot claim that it is defending itself in this conflict. She also condemned the regime's attacks as illegal and irresponsible. Meanwhile, the office of the Palestinian president called this week's attack a dangerous escalation. The regime's attacks was also followed by a closure of two border crossings with the Gaza Strip. But Palestine has witnessed such acts of aggression from time and again, and the heaviest price is always paid by the civilians. The Gaza Strip has been under an Israeli blockade since 2007. That is 15 years of a blockade. Israel has also waged many wars against the Gaza Strip and killed scores of Palestinians, yet there's no mention of this, while Russia's war in Ukraine takes center stage on a daily basis.
A series of drills across six zones surrounding Chinese Taipei. Conventional missile firepower assault in the waters east of Taiwan. More than 100 warplanes, including fighters and bombers, as well as over 10 destroyers and frigates. These are the largest military drills that China has conducted perhaps ever, showing its awesome military might. This level of force displayed in such a manner shows how angry China is at the U.S. and the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit.
Interparliamentary.
Since 1949, that Taiwan is an integral part of China. And they see that as China has moved from being under the control of imperialist powers to becoming a strong independent nation, that they intend to exercise sovereignty over all of their historical, geographical range, including Taiwan.
Ironically, the G7 group of countries and the High Representative of the European Union have now issued a statement condemning these exercises, claiming that they threaten the stability of the region.
In this instance, the European side has now backed the U.S. when it comes to its stance against China. Is this another Ukraine conflict scenario playing out? China sees this as a provocation, since it is endorsing and encouraging pro-separatists and pro-independence forces on the island.
Chinese made their strikes, probably using our visit as an excuse. Let me close by saying this. The Chinese have tried to isolate Taiwan. They may try to keep Taiwan from visiting or participating in other places, but they will not isolate Taiwan by preventing us to travel there.
China has in the past viewed Chinese Taipei as part of its territory. It has also publicly stated that it may take it by force one day if necessary. This is where the U.S. and now Europe come in. Just like Ukraine, both are warning China against any thoughts of a takeover, which parallels the conflict in Ukraine.
The People's Liberation Army has now declared 7 restricted zones near Taiwan and say that they will extend a range of military exercises through Monday. These provocative actions are a significant escalation.
I think the issue of provoking China is this. The United States does not have, as part of its sort of thinking, that somebody is going to be our equal. Now, we have in the Western Pacific this amazing amount of military. Well, China happens to be there. You know, that's part of the world that they're in. And I think that as time goes on, and they have been very clear about this, that they're not prepared to cede American military hegemony to us in the Western Pacific much longer.
But China is not Ukraine if the military display of China is anything to go by. The U.S. provocations against China and Europe's support come at a dangerous time when the world economy is on the precipice. The U.S. anti-China stance and China's maneuvers are taking place along some of the world's busiest shipping routes. Let's not forget, the global supply of vital semiconductors and electronic equipment produced in East Asia are in this region. Additionally, more than 60% of global maritime trade and more than 22% of the total global trade passes through the South China Sea. Is the U.S. and its European allies willing to risk this?
بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين Everyone,
اللهم صل على محمد
وآله محمد Welcome back everyone. Thanks for being with us. We hope that you have been with us listening and practicing and joining all our sessions. Yes, guys?
Yes.
Let's give a very good thanks to all our Muslim brothers and sisters out there who are listening to us, who have been with us with a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Okay. And also, let's give a special thanks to IRIB English Radio, and also Sevier International School Network with the salawat.
And the star.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
And a special thanks to those who are recording this session, okay? Thank you so much.
Also,
recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay, Minhal Hussein is there. He's saying, please give thanks to me as well.
Oh,
let's recite a salawat for him as well.
Thanks to Muhammad.
Okay, inshallah, Allah will reward everyone, okay? In the Jannah, okay? So, let's get back to our lesson. We practice the isti'la and istifal attributes of letters, okay? And so they were very important in order to recite correctly and
Beautifully.
Okay. So one more surah we will, inshallah, recite. Then we'll go and start learning a new lesson, okay? So everyone, please open. Suratul Ma'un. Have you heard surah called Ma'un?
Which page?
Page 602.
602.
Suratul Ma'un after Quraysh.
602.
So, page 602, dear brothers and sisters. Suratul Ma'un. Ara'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen. This surah, okay, we'll be reciting. No, I didn't want to recite. I just wanted to let our brothers and sisters, okay, hear us that we are going to practice this surah. So, ready? Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أرأيت الذي
أرأيت الذي
أرأيت الذي
أرأيت الذي
استعلى
أرأيت
It's like this. No, I said Aita. You say Aita.
You say something.
I'm saying Araita. Also, I'm saying Araita.
Do you know what Aita means?
Okay. Araita. Have you seen? Have you seen? Mahdi, have you seen the microphone?
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay, great. You have to keep close to the microphone, okay? So, ready? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي
أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي
يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ
يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ
فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي
فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي
فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي
Okay, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي
فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي
يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمَ
يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمَ
وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ
وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ
No, recite when you finish, then fix his mistake, okay?
طَعَامِ
وَلَا يَحُضُّ
وَلَا يَحُضُّ
على طعام المسكين
على طعام المسكين
أحسن فويل للمصلين
فويل للمصلين
الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون
الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون
What if I say ساهون الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون
الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون
Oh, don't say ساهون
For الذين
ساهون
Sir, you say
الذين I said
When like
So be careful not to make a mistake when Minhal Hussein is there, okay? Okay.
Stop talking Chinese.
We are reciting Quran. We are reciting Quran. Stop fighting. Okay. So, الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون.
الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون.
Great.
نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's recite the Quran.
Each ayah, okay? One by one, you will recite one ayah and practice that word which has the isti'la, the letter which has isti'la, okay? Twice, okay?
So
Muhammad Yahya from the first.
Muhammad Yahya. Yahya.
Ara.
Okay.
أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين.
First mistake. No, Bismillah.
Great. I wanted to say that.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Okay.
أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين.
Thank you.
أرأيت.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم.
First mistake. You didn't say Bismillah.
He said Bismillah. Didn't you hear?
Muhammad Hadi.
No. Okay. So no. Read it again. You just got a mistake there.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Okay.
فذلك الذي فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم.
Do we have any استعلاء letter here?
No.
يتيم.
Any letter having استعلاء?
Yeah, no.
No, we don't have.
Okay, what does miskin mean?
Not poor, like small. You can't do it.
Hey, miskin, read it.
Yeah, you're miskin.
Next ayah. Read, Mahdi.
ولا يحض على طعام المسكين.
Okay, which letters have استعلاء here?
طع.
No. I'm asking him. Okay, so which letters have at?
I realized the mistake.
So
okay, fix the mistake.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يحض على طعام المسكين.
Okay, طعام. طعام وطعام. No. طعام.
طعام.
Yes.
ولا يحض على طعام المسكين.
ولا يحض على طعام المسكين.
Thank you. Hadi.
Okay.
فويل.
One minute. Bismillah.
That's okay because it's the middle of the surah. Okay.
فويل للمصلين.
فويل. فويل. فويل للمصلين.
فويل للمصلين.
So which letter has استعلاء one?
One minute.
فويل للمصلين. صاد.
فويل للمصلين.
Okay. You, محمد يحيى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين عن صلاتهم ساهون.
Again.
الذين عن
الذين.
Are you hungry?
الذين هم.
Are you hungry?
الذين.
Why do you?
الذين هم. He said الذين هم.
Okay.
الذين هم عن صلاتهم
صلاتهم
ساهون.
ساهون.
That's
thank you. من هل حسين next
one. الذين هم يراعون.
الذين
هم يراعون.
بسم الله.
Again.
يراعون. الذين هم يراعون.
Again. Wait, don't speak. No. Don't say anything, let him find the mistake himself. Don't say anything. Shh. Quiet. Read it.
الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ.
يُرَاعُونَ.
Okay, look at my recitation. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ.
أُونَ.
No.
الذين هم يراؤون.
Yeah.
So, read
so
it.
I read that.
Read it.
الذين هم يراؤون.
No. Two mistakes.
Yes.
Al-ladhina.
Al-ladhina.
Yura'un.
Yura'un.
Mad. It has mad.
Yura'un.
Yeah. Yura'un. Great.
That's how you read
Mahdi,
it.
Mahdi, the last ayah.
Oh, me?
Go on.
وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ.
Thank you so much.
صلق الله العلي العظيم.
Recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Okay, thank you so much. So let's review, inshallah, the lessons that we have studied so far.
You said you will learn a new lesson. What's that?
Yeah, but let's review then, okay?
Okay.
So we studied
something.
Today we studied
isti'la. Vertically and horizontally.
Yes. Then the other previous lessons we studied qalqala, shadda,
fathatayn.
فتحتين كسرتين ضمتين ألف مدي واو مدي ياي مدي ياي لين
يا لين
yes and
ياه
ألف
ألف
ألف مقصورة
مقصورة ألف
yes and also dagger ألف
dagger ألف
okay this letters yes we practice mashallah
ساكن
إدغام
so
great yes إدغام إظهار إخبار.
No. We will, inshallah, study them in the coming sessions because they are the tajweed rules, okay? The tajweed rules, they are very, very important points of reciting Quran, okay? Reciting Quran, inshallah, we'll practice them. But before that, we need to know many more, okay? Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much, IRIB English Radio, and also Sevilla International Schools Network. Thank you so much. God bless you for holding this kind of sessions. May inshallah Allah bless us all and help us stay strong and also stay strong in learning Holy Quran, okay? Inshallah. So, we'll inshallah see you. Thanks for being with us. Let's recite a salawat, everyone.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.